Part 5. Full Circle. Sometimes we stare so long at a door that is closing that we see too late the one that is open. Alexander Graham Bell. P-42. Ford McCarthy Residence, Birchwood, Colorado. While Leisha focused his mind on listening in to those of the approaching agents who had been sent to Birchwood at President Slater's behest, William Godfrey made a beeline for the kitchen drawer he knew was home to the tablet which controlled the McCarthy's top-of-the-line security system and relayed footage from each of the many outward-facing cameras. The fact that he knew where they kept this was one more little sign of how close they had all gotten recently, in a manner Godfrey certainly hadn't taken for granted. Once Godfrey had the tablet in his hand, he remained in the kitchen. The blinds on all of the front windows were closed, as they had been from just moments after he and Leisha arrived, but he nevertheless felt that remaining out of potential sight through the window was a wise move. There was no real logic to this, but it was such a natural reaction that he didn't give it any thought. Leisha, meanwhile, walked closer to the front door once he sensed that the agents were close.
They're in a black SUV, slowing down, Godfrey telepathically reported from the kitchen.
Thanks, Leisha said. But can you bring that device here? Something like the so-called remote viewing connection Piper has to Dan would be useful, but all I am running with are the clear thoughts of three individuals. I can't see where they are or what any non-conscious movements might be suggesting as their next course of action.
Comforted by his distance from the window and door, Godfrey hesitated for a brief moment before shaking away his doubts and walking to join Leisha. The McCarthys had placed a lot of faith in both of them, he considered, and hiding in the kitchen while his presence could assist Leisha in the living room was no way for someone who'd been handed such responsibility to behave.
You don't have to worry about being seen or about anything else, Leisha insisted gently and reassuringly as Godfrey arrived at his side. I am here to protect the integrity of this home from unwelcome intruders, and you are here to advise me on how best to deal with any unforeseen complications without my misreading of human cues or norms making things worse.
Godfrey didn't reply, his brain too focused on the live video images playing on the tablet he was holding in an outstretched hand. Leisha quickly turned his own focus to this too, as soon as Godfrey held it out, and either individual could have heard a pin drop as they watched the passenger side door of the black SUV swing slowly open. Darkness had by now fallen in Birchwood, not by much, but the timing was clearly not by accident. The next few moments would reveal perhaps the most important thing of all, and both Godfrey and Leisha knew this only too well. In accordance with the message Godfrey had received from a whistleblowing ally in Buenos Aires, they and the rest of their inner circle believed that Slater was sending agents to investigate who was home and what they knew. As the moment of truth arrived, however, Godfrey began to wonder whether his canary, for whose intervention they were all immensely thankful, might have put two and two together and made five. After all, Godfrey considered, there was no way the man could have known that altogether different kinds of intruders had been sent to Eastview and Denver the previous night, if not directly by Slater, then quite likely by someone else tied to her new ally, Jan Geller. Just as clearly, there was no way Godfrey's contact could know that Phil Norris had died at one of the intruders' hands, and that only Chip Petrovich's quick thinking and streetwise toughness might have prevented a second similarly grave outcome. Leisha's choice of words just moments earlier, when he spoke of having been sent to protect the home from unwelcome intruders, further put Godfrey's mind on high alert. He was becoming less and less sure that agent would be an appropriate word for whoever would imminently emerge from behind the car door, and within another few seconds, his suspicions were proven unsettlingly well-founded. The car slowed without stopping, and the opening of the passenger side door was immediately followed by that of the door behind the driver's. The full screen view on the tablet in Godfrey's hand automatically changed to a broader shot, showing the whole car framed against Mr. Bird's empty house across the street. The first man in view, emerging from the passenger side, looked like no federal agent William Godfrey's decades in politics had ever exposed him to. The individual was, in Godfrey's English parlance, a heavy. He wasn't built like the Secret Service agents who had until recently protected the neighborhood. He wasn't dressed like those agents, and he certainly didn't move like them. Instead, from Godfrey's perspective, the man looked more like a cross between John Cole and Clark McCarthy, the physically imposing stature of the latter, but with the unkempt sloppiness and lesser athleticism of the former. There was also an element of someone like Joe Crabb in The Enforcer, too, Godfrey thought, in the sense that he had what Godfrey perhaps prejudiciously considered a very common and unrefined look to him. Secret Service agents, and particularly those assigned to the frontline protection of critical personnel, had always struck Godfrey as looking like they could have sat behind a news anchor's desk without anyone batting an eyelid, where this individual struck him as the type more likely to find himself being filmed on the way into a courtroom, having been caught selling fake cigarettes from the back of a truck.
"He's not here to talk," he told Leisha, correctly considering that the alien wouldn't be so perceptive of the small cues that he himself was able to read.
There was certainly a middle ground between Leisha's obliviousness to someone not quite looking the part and Godfrey's somewhat elitist snap judgments about the approaching figure, but the ICA chairman knew that now wasn't the time for political correctness or giving peace a chance.
"Should I stick to the plan of placing a force field around the perimeter?" Leisha asked. "There does not appear to be a media presence, as we predicted."
Godfrey inhaled deeply, trying to stay calm.
"Leisha, be ready for anything."